Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
It appears the market is trying to buy all kinds of acres. Is it high enough to be successful? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Doug Yoder, the Director of Marketing and Risk Management at the Illinois Farm Bureau. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, and Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. We've rallied the wheat, the soybeans, and the corn right into fall. Have acres been purchased? If so, where and under what commodity? And then we'll deal with what's left to buy. And we'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
Well, I don't know exactly what we mean by acres being purchased, Todd, but I have had a conversation with two or three of my clients here within the last couple of days talking about next year and more corn on corn. Should we readjust our percentages that we have sold and see if maybe we need to get some more new crop corn sold? So I think if nothing else, the farmer out there in the combine as he's going along combining corn and beans is sure giving it some thought, it sounds like.
Wyatt Muse?
Yes, I'd definitely say we've bought some acres. Right here in central Illinois, we've bought a lot of wheat acres. Guys have been planting wheat this year, and we'll probably continue into this weekend and next week. People that haven't planted in 20 years or more are getting back in there, both an agronomy decision to put a third crop in the mix, and also it's good cash flow in the summer, good reason to get your combine out and make sure everything's working fine. I would say we've also bought some corn acres here in central Illinois.
And Paul Cooley.
You know, I think the verdict is still out as far as a big increase of 3 to 5 million acres of corn in the marketplace. 60 bushel beans is one reason why it's going to be hard. The high-priced wheat is another reason why it's going to be hard. And it's awfully hard to get a no-tiller, strip tiller, and an owner-operator to make that big plunge into possibly a $200 an acre additional investment. People also, on the other hand, say the seed companies are saying yes, and also there's that opportunity quotient that might give the person the opportunity to make more gross money if we have 200 bushel corn and if we have $3 corn.
I'd like you all to address this particular point. What do you do about next year's sales when we have December corn for next year over $3? I'm going to start with you, Paul.
Well, I'm still of the opinion that the trend in corn is up. The opportunities to be long are questionable because I think that we're not there yet as far as flat price is concerned, but I think that there is risk of shorting the market, particularly with the fundamentals as strong as we have them right now.
I'm in the camp of being ready to make some corn sales and not let your emotions get too involved. Currently today we're $2.85 for fall 07 corn, 15 cents away from that $3 mark, and I think that's an excellent spot for farmers to start selling, not to get too excited with it, but start getting some sales on for fall 07.
We made some sales on the rally last summer there when we got up a little bit higher than we are right now. I'm not quite ready to jump back in there. I think we take care of the 06 crop here first, but we get up around that $3 mark that Wyatt's talking about. I think that's a good level to look at it again.
In December, corn futures at the Chicago Board of Trade this week had a high of 276 and a quarter, a low at 261 and three quarters, and the D settled at $2.71. They were up 8.5 from last week. December 07 contract at 305 and a half, up 3 cents. What are we doing with cash corn that you have not sold at this point?
Well, you know, we're going to have a very important crop production report next week, and definitely I'd like to see that card being played before I would do anything. My general impression is that the fundamentals are still quite strong, and the trend technically is still higher, and the carry in the market is still unmistakably meant to store the grain.
Bill, we take a look, speaking of that, that crop production report. Informa came out with their numbers this week. They're predicting now at 11.15 billion bushel crop for the corn on a yield of 155.2 bushels to the acre. Just as a reminder, the USDA at 11.114 billion in the September crop report. Is it really getting bigger, do you think?
I think it's you have to kind of bet that the October report will be at least slightly bigger than the September. Just looking at past history, at the methodology that the USDA uses, I think, tells you that for some reason, if they increase from August to September, they usually increase from September to October. I guess I'm not sure that the crop size and this production report coming up, unless there's a big surprise, bullish surprise, is going to make a lot of difference. I think we saw this week that there's a lot more factors in this market than just the fundamental situation. Going back to your question on cash corn, I think the farmer really has to refocus here on what his marketing job is. That's to make a profit in the short term, and secondly, to respect this market. And I think we're looking at a situation similar to what we saw in 95, 96, back in the 70s. This, when you see the spreads change like they did on Thursday there, I think that that's telling you that there's more in this market than just the fundamentals. But from the crop report standpoint, I think, yeah, the crop's a little bit bigger than probably what we thought.
Go ahead and explain what more you think might be there than the fundamentals.
I think obviously we saw on Thursday's market, we saw dollars being a big factor. We saw some people being forced out of the market. We're seeing emotion, fear, greed. I mean, that's the things that were going on in the market on Thursday. When you see the wheat spread change 30 cents, that's telling you that it's not based strictly on fundamentals.
And are you saying that producers need to be ready to pull the trigger then on cash sales?
I think that if you can look at the price that you're delivering to the elevator and make profits at that, you have to take advantage of that. I don't want to have all my corn sold by any means, but I think that's your first job, is to stay in business. Then you can come back and decide if you want to maybe use some options to re-own or whatever you want to do to stay in the market.
Wyatt, how does what you're talking about in the office differ than from what farmers are talking about when they come into you about making cash sales?
A lot of farmers are looking at what kind of on-farm storage they can use, and I would say our producers did a pretty good job of selling ahead this year. So most people are only looking at a small portion of their crop that they're making that decision on whether they're going to store it or sell it across the scales. And since we're so far behind compared to last year on our corn harvest, people really haven't been forced to make that decision yet. Most people haven't fully filled their contracts. And I would say at a 256 to 260 cash price today, it's not a terrible spot to be selling cash corn. Last year, no, compare it to $1.90 cash and your 45 cent LDP, we're about 25 cents better in the farmer's pocket this year than last.
We're so far behind here in the east central part of Illinois, but not across the nation, actually pretty close to on pace across the nation. Does that put farmers harvesting at this point at an advantage or a disadvantage for marketing their grain, do you think, in our region?
I was going to say, I think it puts them at an advantage because it gives them time to choose. Now, I don't know about out west how far along they are, but I know in our eastern areas, the Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, our elevators have been very slow on receipts. It's been very wet, and the harvest is way behind.
Yeah, one of the quick ones I wanted to say about the crop size, you know, I think it's a no-brainer that we'll see bigger beans, but I do think that there is a tremendous debate as far as actually on the crop size. And it probably could even be determined in the November report, but our indications are, I think the Illinois crop is substantially oversized, as well as the Indiana crop. I think the verdict's still out in Iowa, for example.
Let's take a look at the wheat market before we get to the beans. December wheat had a high this week of 487, a low at 435 and a quarter. Their settlement price up 21 cents at $4.64. July at 468 and a half, up 8.5 cents. December oats at 216 and a quarter, up a dime. Wheat futures have rallied in the nearbys about 60, 65 cents in the last 3 weeks. It's been a really impressive move there. And then we had a lot of fireworks on the floor, I think fisticuffs even at some point on the floor this week. A lot of money was lost. I don't know what to make of all of that exactly and whether the farmer has to worry about it at all. But I guess the question really is, do they need to take advantage of the cash prices at this point if they're putting wheat into the ground?
Yes, I would definitely recommend at least getting started on your cash sales. We're at 10-year highs in the wheat market today, and there's no reason you can't start making some of your sales. Now, I'm not saying it can't go any higher, but there's no reason to be selling 20 bushels to the acre of your wheat crop today.
Dan Bassey says it's going higher, doesn't he?
Yeah, Dan's right there on the front in Geneva, Switzerland, and he did have some very good points. Our general impression is that there was some major problems in wheat spreading. Major ideas that the real demand of wheat wouldn't be there. In other words, we did see some demand come in, and he warned of a very tight situation. Still, the weatherman's not predicting any rainfall in Australia and very minor rainfall in Argentina. I think the big thing here on the wheat is I wouldn't want to be long new crop wheat, but there is ways to play it. You could buy old crop wheat, sell new crop wheat, put some bull call spreads on. But if you're really putting extra acres of wheat in the ground, I think probably some modest hedging program would be in order.
Bill, anything to add on the wheat before we get to the soybeans?
No, I'd agree with both their comments there.
Take a look at the November beans, $5.70 the high price, the low at 540.5. The Nove settled at 564. They were up 16.5 from last week. November 07 contracts at $6.20.5. They were up 10.5 from the week prior. So what are we doing in the bean pit? Are we buying acres in South America? Are we buying acres here in the U.S.? Are we just trying to stay up with the corn and the wheat? What's happening in that marketplace?
Well, one argument that I've heard several times is whether we have a 60-bushel bean crop in central Illinois or a 35-bushel bean crop. Beans are extremely cheap in the world market. Beans aren't going to go down very far. The main factor is we'll probably plant 7% less beans in South America. We're going to plant probably 5% less beans in the U.S. 75-cent crush margins, 70-cent crush margins. China's buying beans rather rapidly. The farmer is going to be very reluctant to basically sell anything. There's a lot of storage out there that says bring them to us. Soybean processors have added additional dumps to handle that big crop. So we think that there's not going to be any big drastic thing. You couldn't scare the market last year. You couldn't scare it the year before on other major problems. So I think it's a function of the crop will be put away. We will see some good rallies. And the farmers are going to be extremely tight holders of that commodity.
I have a question on one of those facts that you threw out, 7% fewer beans in South America.
In
Brazil. But I've seen 12 to 15% fewer acres there.
They are losing their shirt because of the currency revaluations, and they do have some major economic problems. They owe possibly 2 years of fertilizer supply. I think that's one of those things that can be debated, but the Informa group that used the word seven.
All right. That's what I wanted to know, where you picked that up. I think they said 55 million metric tons. Is that what they came up with? That actually would be a record-sized crop still from South America if they came up with from Brazil if they came up with a 55 million metric ton crop. And USDA is coming up. I think the last time around at this time last year predicted 62, and they maybe ended up with 52 or thereabouts. So they'd have fewer acres and still manage to raise more beans. Of course, depends on a lot of disease factors and other things that could happen out of South America. What do you see in the bean pit at this point?
Well, I think going back to your original question there, I think there's some keeping up with the corn and beans. I'd agree with that. I think that if you and what Paul said, you look at the three major commodities, the better buy of the three right now would definitely be the soybeans from a historical standpoint as well as a world price standpoint. So I think you saw some of that. You went down, you tested some solid support there And I think they couldn't break through it, and the locals came in and bought back a lot of beans. The funds came in and bought back some of their short positions. I think that's what – but really the soybeans haven't really broken any new ground. I mean, we did come up and break some resistance, but we're still kind of in that 450 to 470 or 550 to 575 range that we were in most of the year, really.
Wyatt, most of the time we talk about farmers being really good at marketing their corn earlier in the year this year, but beans, they like to hang on to those devils. Have they been hanging on, and what do you think they ought to do with them?
Well, I agree they have been hanging on. The past few years they've had a nice summer rally in July to be able to sell their beans at a good price. July came and went this year. We sold off 94 cents in 2 months' time from July the 11th to September the 12th. Since then, we've bounced 37 cents, and basis levels tell us that the end users are trying to incent some beans to come to the market, and farmers are still holding on, waiting for a little bit better price out of them. I personally don't see the beans rallying anything great this fall, but we do still have some upside left, and if you're going to need cash flow by the end of the year, I would take any chance you can on 15 to 20 cents higher than where we're at today to be making a little bit of a sale.
And really, you got not very much risk down the loan rate right now in most places in Central Illinois. So
I agree with that. Since September the 1st, we've had an LDP on beans every day except for 2 days, one of them being today. And so I agree with Bill here that we've been dancing right around loan rate, and there's no great incentive to sell beans at loan rate because it's a free put from the government.
Anything else on the beans, Paul?
You know, one of the interesting facts is that, you know, we are looking at a bigger crop, but we are here picking up from some of our friends of basically Ford County North that there's some diseases in the beans, and it's not a universally bin buster in some areas in the state.
When we come back, we'll talk with Doug Yoder of the Illinois Farm Bureau, taking a quick look at some of the rest of the numbers. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle October contract had a high this week of $92. They're low at $90.25. They settled at $90.87.5. They were up 22.5. Feeder cattle at $113.02.5 were 12.5 cents higher. The lean hogs October contract has $65.60 on the high, the low at $64.15. Their settlement price at $64.57.5 for the week, and they finished 95 cents higher.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. October got off to a decidedly summer-like start in Illinois and much of the Midwest with record warm weather and severe storms. A ridge of high pressure aloft building into the Midwest early this week brought temperatures in the 90s to western and central Illinois, setting a few daily and all-time monthly high temperature records. The hottest weather was in the western portions of the state, where Moline and Havana set record highs of 95 degrees on Tuesday, while Peoria and Springfield set or tied records with readings of 93 degrees. The cool down on Thursday was a nice break, but nevertheless, temperatures this week averaged 7 to 10 degrees above normal. Combined with good southerly winds and relatively low dew points, harvest conditions across Illinois were generally good this week. Rainfall this week was heavy in northeastern Illinois, but much of the rest of the state saw only scattered showers and thunderstorms. Parts of southwestern Illinois saw no rain at all, despite expectations that the cold front would trigger more thunderstorms as it pushed through the state. We will continue on the temperature roller coaster at the beginning of next week. The weather will begin to warm again this weekend as high pressure drifts east and southerly winds return. The weather should remain dry until Wednesday, when a strong cold front will bring showers and thunderstorms. Much colder weather is likely for the last half of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL AM 580. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Doug Yoder, the Director of the Marketing and Risk Management portion of the Illinois Farm Bureau, now joins us, and we'll be welcoming you for the next 10 or 12 minutes to take a few questions. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us today, Doug.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
that?
Let's start with a couple of things. What have you been telling farmers about risk management? They're used to dealing with LDPs, countercyclical payments, direct payments. Well, direct, they'll get one way or the other. What have you been telling them as you've been going out and talking on the speaking circuit this fall and through the summer months?
Well, the market has certainly transitioned. You know, heading into harvest, it looked like the market was screaming at them to store the crop as much as possible with wide carries in the market, wide basis levels, high storage levels. And of course, we've transitioned out of that somewhat. So I certainly appreciate some of the your panelists' comments there about, looking at good sales. And I think we have shifted out of that store-at-all-cost mode as much as you can mode. And now I think farmers need to take a good hard look at some good cash sales. And while I can get as bullish as anybody with the bright future as far as demand, I think there's a right way and a wrong way for farmers to play that game. And just try to encourage them to remember that, they grow a product to sell it at a profit. I think we can do that now. If they want to, shoot for loftier goals as far as trying to hit a high in the market, then I think there's better ways to do that than taking too much risk in the cash market. I certainly don't mind seeing them store the crop, but I also don't want to see them get, just run away bullish either and ignore some good selling opportunities.
Will the farmer in the state of Illinois collect any GRIP insurance policy this year as far as any in your calculations?
Paul, I sure wouldn't think so at this point, given the fact, with this recent rally, and of course we don't know what that average price is going to turn out to be, but it certainly looks like we're going to be above that price that was established back in February, so doesn't look like we'd have much potential there, and the yields so far look pretty good. I can't speak for, obviously, every area. A lot of places haven't even got started yet, but early indications are that yields are going to be good enough, and the price is certainly good enough that I would not think that we'd have hardly any crop insurance claims this year in Illinois on corn and beans. I could be surprised. There could be some regions that suffer a problem, but for the most part, I would not expect to see claims this year.
What are you seeing statewide as far as farmers looking at corn on corn acres for next year? Do you think we're going to see that increase, at least in this area?
I would sure think so, Wyatt. I hate to try to outguess them this far in advance. A lot has to happen between now and next planting season when they, finalize their planting intentions. But given the bright aspect as far as corn demand here in the States, obviously with ethanol and livestock feed and also exports, and I think we like to grow corn, and I think technology continues to improve enough that allows us to try that more and more, and I think that we will see farmers push that pencil hard here over the winter. Again, I think it's too early to pin them down right now, but I think if the market tells them they can do it, I think we'll see more people give that a try.
I've got several customers, at least, that are looking at planting wheat that have never planted wheat before. Is there anything from a risk management standpoint, the insurance products and that, some things they don't have available to them since they haven't planted wheat? How do they approach that?
Well, I would certainly encourage them to, and we spent some time this past year, Bill, talking about wheat risk management. It seemed like we're getting, it's lower on that learning curve. Obviously, corn and beans, as far as crop insurance anyway, we've seen more of an uptake. And GRIP was introduced in wheat for the first time this year, but there's only selected counties in Illinois that have that offered. We've had several other counties call us and want us to help them try to qualify for GRIP in their county, but I'm not sure if it's going to be actually possible. But as I think it was Wyatt mentioned earlier, wheat just set a 10-year high. So, yeah, there's obviously some risk management things they need to take a look at, especially if they're new wheat growers. But again, encourage farmers, just take a look at the bottom line. If they're planting a crop and the goal is to sell out a profit, I think they got that potential now. I would encourage them to take a good hard look at that. We want to get bullish, but we also got to recognize good opportunities right in front of us when we see them.
Doug, you came from a grain elevator background, and you realize the importance of grain storage as far as marketing these commodities. With this potential volatility and higher price levels, let's say the typical cash renter out here that doesn't have any storage, is he taking a lot of risk of selling $3 corn this coming year?
You're talking about 07,
yes,
selling it ahead of time?
Yes.
Only in the aspect, I think, Paul, if he gets carried away. Again, I think their business is to raise a crop and sell it at a profit, and if we can't make a profit at $3, and I think we need to reevaluate, wouldn't get carried away, wouldn't, as you said earlier, I'd be afraid of the short side on paper, but they're in the business of selling cash grain. If they know their, you know, the production history good enough, if, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong at all in selling a portion, getting started at $3 and above, certainly, and especially with the habit we've seen farmers the last handful of years step up to the plate in Illinois and buy good revenue insurance. They're buying some pretty good guaranteed yield and revenue policies with that backdrop or backstop in their back pocket. I think that does free them up to step up and sell corn at good price levels. So I agree with you not to short it yet, but that's, in my book, different than a farmer looking to sell corn at a good price. I certainly wouldn't discourage them getting started.
Doug, you mentioned the wheat coverage on insurance, and I know here in Champaign County a lot of producers that are growing wheat looked into taking out insurance on it, and people that hadn't grown it for many years were going to be forced to take the county's T-yield. Now, many counties that I looked at did not have a very good proven yield, and that discouraged people from spending the money on wheat. Are there many counties out there in Illinois that were able to take advantage of that, or is that something that's going to take some time to iron out?
I think it's something that needs work, Wyatt. I think you're exactly right. One reason I think we haven't seen Illinois farmers purchase wheat coverage as much as corn and beans is because of some of the issues you just mentioned. The coverage isn't quite as good. It's a little costly. We don't have the good history that we do in corn and beans. Some of those farmers, as I mentioned, I believe it was 32 counties, if I remember right, had GRIP offered. Some of those farmers in those counties that have GRIP now, if they don't have a T-yield, obviously they have the advantage of stepping up and just using GRIP instead. But as I mentioned, probably at least three-fourths of the state does not have GRIP coverage. So that certainly is an issue that we need to continue to address, especially if we're going to see this, at least what we think, the current trend of more wheat acres.
Doug, switch gears here a little bit. Could you give us a quick rundown on what you're expecting on the report next week?
Well, I think I can't argue with what you guys said earlier. I guess I would expect, looking historically, for that the October report to slightly increase size production on corn. Don't know if it'd be a considerable amount at this point, just because harvest was so slow getting started. I don't know if they can, you know, typically in October they've got a pretty good handle from some yield surveys, not just estimates, but some actual surveys of production that's occurred. This year, obviously, they're not going to have near as many of those testimonials, so to speak, as they normally do. So, yeah, I would expect it to go up slightly in corn and beans. Early indications on beans so far have been, I think, better yield-wise and respectively than corn, but I still expect the corn report to go up somewhat.
Doug, we appreciate you being with us.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Doug Yoder is the Director of Marketing and Risk Management at the Illinois Farm Bureau. A quick final word from our panelists. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
One of my favorite sayings is, any fool can make $1 million, but it takes a smart person to keep it. And that was Purvis Tabor, Tabor Grain Company.
And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
With volatile markets and high prices, don't let your emotions get in the way. Make sure you're willing to pull the trigger and sell at a profit, and also be safe this harvest.
And Bill Mayer.
Follow right along with that. Don't try to overthink this market. There's a lot going on. Keep your focus where it should be, and that's on marketing and creating profit in your operation. And I agree, have a safe harvest.
Bill Mayer, of course, with Roach Ag Marketing. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind: next Thursday, USDA will release its latest crop production estimate. And remember, you can access this Commodity Week on the web at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a safe week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from Agrigold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many Agrigold customers in the listening area. Agrigold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.